to Daniel chapter 4. We have to finish Daniel chapter 4. All right, we went all the way up to the point where Daniel had been telling Nebuchadnezzar what his dream meant. And it wasn't good. It was a tough dream because it was bad news for the king. And Daniel really tried to let the king know that he was sorry about the dream. Daniel felt bad about it. Remember, the dream was that Nebuchadnezzar would live like an animal for 7 years. That he would completely lose his mind and live like an animal for 7 years. Because we said Nebuchadnezzar had a pride problem. Nebuchadnezzar had a pride problem. And I think it's safe to say from studying the Bible that if there's one sin that God hates, now we know God hates all sin, we know that. And we know that sin is sin in God's eyes. But it seems in the Bible that one of the sins that rises to the top often that God has to deal with is the sin of pride. Amen. And how God has to humble people so often. People that get too proud and God humbles them. The Bible teaches that. That God will humble the proud. And that's what we're dealing with in Daniel chapter 4 with Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in the whole world at that time. Nobody was more powerful than him at that time. He had it all. And we also said that Nebuchadnezzar had been given opportunities up to this point. He had been presented with the truth from Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's been multiple times. The first time was with Daniel refusing the food and how he and his friends were 10 times better. That was the first time Nebuchadnezzar had an opportunity to realize, wow, their God is special. And then we talked about the other time with the interpreting of this of that other dream, the first dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, about the empires, that Daniel told him exactly what his dream was, and he told him what it meant. And Nebuchadnezzar talked about God. He said, your God is a God of gods. But it was always your God. Still distant. And then we talked about the fiery furnace and how Nebuchadnezzar saw with his own eyes the three friends of Daniel walking in the midst of the fiery furnace and a fourth man with them who he said looked like the Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar had his chances. And even as we closed reviewing verse 27 of Daniel 4, Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar another chance. He said, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. He said, O king, just repent. God's giving you a chance. You know, this is God's warning to you. And if you break off your sins, and you do what's right, and you show mercy to the poor, and you put aside your pride, you can avoid this.
Amen.
That's what God says to everybody. You can avoid this judgment if you just turn to me.
Amen.
That's true of everything in life. And that's true ultimately of our eternal destination. God warns mankind in His Word about a place called hell. And God warns mankind in His Word and says, there is a place of hellfire. But God tells us, and all mankind, avoid that place. Turn to me, and I will have mercy on you. You see, God gives everybody warnings, and God gives everybody time. That's why He hasn't returned yet. We've talked about that before. Why hasn't the Lord come back yet? Tells us in 2 Peter. He has not returned yet in 2 Peter 3. Says He's not slack concerning His promise. It's not that God forgot about His promises to come back. Why isn't He come back? He's not slack concerning His promise, but His long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3. God has not come back yet because He's giving people more time to repent. He's giving people more time. And here Nebuchadnezzar has time. But look at verse 28. Now we continue the story. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. That's your first blank. At the end of the 12 months, 12 months later, so a whole year had gone by. Maybe Nebuchadnezzar's beginning to think to himself, maybe that dream was just a dream. Maybe it was just a fanciful dream I had. I mean, after all, it's been months. Nothing's happening to me. I'm okay. My mind is still here. So maybe Nebuchadnezzar began to get comfortable again. And he began to lose his fear of the dream. And that's exactly what happens sometimes. We get warned about something, and we're initially fearful of it. But then time goes by and we say, yeah, you know what, I'm okay. Nothing bad's happening to me. Nothing bad's going to happen to me. That won't happen to me. And people get comfortable. Nebuchadnezzar's getting comfortable. 12 months have gone by. And then in verse 30, he speaks. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? You have three blanks. I, my, and my. Those personal pronouns. Me, myself, and I. People's favorite words. Me, my, mine. You ever meet somebody that one Christian man, there's a funny skit that he does. And he talks about the me monster. Where you're talking with, you know, you're having a conversation with people. Maybe you're sitting around a table, a dinner table, and all of a sudden somebody comes out with the me monster. And they want to start telling you how they're better than you because their story tops yours. And they always have one up on you. You know, you tell a story and then they come over you and say, well, I, and they're, you know. Oh, well, that's a good story, but let me tell you about me. People get the me monster. And people get proud. And they want to boast of all their accomplishments. That's pride. The boast of everything they've done. Well, let me tell you what I've done. You got a half an hour? Let me tell you about myself. You know, people want to talk about themselves all the time. That's not the Bible way. We should be more concerned about others. Tell me about you, or tell me your problems. Not let me tell you all about me and what I've done and how great I am. Let me impress you with my accomplishments. So Nebuchadnezzar is, he's got the I problem. Look at what I have built. Look at the power that I have, and the honor of my majesty. He is very, very proud. Nebuchadnezzar is full of himself, completely. We as Christians should never be that way. Christians should not be that way. Should be humble. Anything good that we may have done, really all the glory goes to God. It's not because of us. We're just sinners saved by grace. We're not better than the next person. Okay, any talents that God has given to us are from God. We didn't gain those talents ourselves. It's from God. Everything we have is from God. Look at Romans 12. Romans 12 and verse 3. So we need to be very careful about the me monster. Don't let him creep up in your life. Romans 12 verse 3 is a great verse. One that we all should apply. And if somebody would read Romans 12, verse 3.
For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith.
Isn't that a great verse? Mm-hmm. It says, you know what, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. It's a great verse. Don't think too highly of yourselves, he says. He says, think soberly. That word soberly means with a clear mind, the right kind of thinking. And he says, realizing that God's the one that has given you whatever you have. So don't think too highly of yourselves. That doesn't mean you should be a woe is me kind of person all the time. I'm no good. I'm no. That's the other side. That's the other extreme, which is equally as bad. You understand, thinking too highly of yourself is bad. And thinking too lowly of yourself is equally as bad. Because either way, who are you focused on?
Yourself.
There's some people who live every day saying, I'm no good. I'm a failure. I'm not worth anything. That's equally as bad as thinking, I'm the greatest, I'm the best. Because either way, you're focused on yourself. In the one instance, you're thinking you're the best, that you're God's gift to planet Earth. You're thinking you're the most wonderful thing. That's pride. Okay? And then the other side of the coin, you're just having a pity party for yourself. Both are equally wrong. We should just have a humble self-opinion. You know, God's given me certain gifts. God's given you certain gifts. We thank God for it. We say, Lord, what we should say is, Lord, may I use what you've given to me for you. Whatever talents you have, everybody in here has a special talent, something that you can do better than the next person. Everybody in here has a talent where you can do something better than I can do. And whatever it is, and one person can do something better. Some people have the gift of management. Some people have the gift of fixing things. Some people have the gift of being an encouragement. Whatever your talent is, everybody in here has a talent. Just have the attitude, I want to use it for God and for His glory. Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't have the self-pity. Have the, you know, more of that middle of the road, just humble self-opinion, saying, you know what? I'm not the best, but, you know, I just want to serve God and give God all the glory. And that should be our attitude. If you have a lot, thank God for it. Nebuchadnezzar, it's not wrong that he's the leader. God made him the leader. It's just he should have been thanking God for it instead of saying, look at me. You know, if God blesses you with success, praise the Lord for it. Nothing wrong with that. Just give God the glory. Don't say, well, you know, I have what I have because I'm so talented. No. You have what you have because God gave it to you. That's the right attitude. So it says the revelation given to Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel's interpretation was soon forgotten. And Daniel's exhortation was ignored. Daniel told him, O king, break off your sins by righteousness. Nebuchadnezzar continued in his sinful pride, it says right there. He continued in his pride. Well, God has a way of interrupting our parades. Nebuchadnezzar's having a me party. Nebuchadnezzar's having his own little parade in his palace. Tooting his own horn, if you will, as they say. Playing his own fanfare. And it was during that parade that God interrupts. God will interrupt our parades. Verse number 31. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. That's your next blank. There fell a voice from heaven. That would interrupt your parade. He heard the voice. He heard God's voice. That will stop you. He heard God's voice. It says there fell a voice from heaven. I knew this voice was speaking to Nebuchadnezzar directly. You think God's trying to get his attention? Sure. And that's what God does to you and I. We get into our own little parades and we think, you know, everything's great. And we start going off the wrong pathway and we get on our own little side road. And then God gets our attention again. God will get your attention. If you start to go down the wrong road, you're one of God's children, you know the Lord. And the Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Just like a mother or a father, if their child is going the wrong way, heading towards trouble, what good parent is not going to yell and get their kid's attention and stop them from the destruction that they're heading to? God will get your attention. And God does. And he says in verse number 31, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And that's your next blank. The kingdom is departed from thee. If we do not treat what God has given to us with care and with respect and giving glory to God, God just might take it away from us. Somebody gets proud of their accomplishments, God has his way of humbling and taking it away or reminding them, this isn't all about you. And we don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to be in that situation. I don't want to get into a position where God has to humble me and where I begin to think that I'm accomplishing great things and then God has to put me on my back. I don't want that. And that's what Nebuchadnezzar had happened to him. If we abuse what God has given to us, if we abuse what God gives us, He will take it away. If you abuse it, you can lose it.
Amen.
So don't abuse it. Don't abuse the privileges God gives to you. Don't abuse the position God has put you in. Because if you abuse it, you can lose it.
Amen.
God will take it from you. That's not what we want to happen. Nebuchadnezzar abused his position as the most powerful emperor. He abused his power. So God said, you have now lost it. We have now taken it from you. The kingdom is departed from thee. Sad. Sad. Verse 32. And God continues speaking to him. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times, or as we said in the book of Daniel, 7 years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. Nebuchadnezzar, I am going to remind you that you are not in control. I am in control. And that is the picture at the top of your paper, one artist's rendition of what it may have looked like of Nebuchadnezzar living with the beasts of the field. Possible. You know, they didn't have cameras back then. But that's what it may have looked like. Nebuchadnezzar living with the beasts, becoming a beast himself in his mind. And that's your next blank. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. I don't know about you, but I don't want to dwell with the beasts of the field. No thanks. But sometimes God has his way of humbling people. I'm not saying you're going to start acting like an animal. Hope not. But God does other things to us. God has other ways of reminding us that He's in control. God has other ways. And let's face it, if we don't humble ourselves and God does, His ways of humbling us are not going to be enjoyable. That's the whole point of it. Being humbled is not an enjoyable experience. But if we do it ourselves, as the Bible tells us in one of the New Testament passages that we might look at this morning, it says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and He will lift you up, it says in 1 Peter. So we are given an opportunity to humble ourselves so that God doesn't have to. So look at Proverbs 29. Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man, is now living like an animal, eating grass, crawling on all fours, looking like a fool. And that's what happens when we get humbled. We sometimes look foolish. Proverbs 29 and verse number 23. Let's have somebody read that.
A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit.
See the choice we're given? If we allow pride in our hearts, it's going to bring us low. We're heading for a crash. But if we are humble in spirit, God will uphold us. He'll honor those that are humble. And then turn to James, all the way towards the end of the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4, and verse number 6. Somebody read James 4, verse 6.
For he giveth more grace, wherefore he say, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble.
Right there, God resists the proud. We don't want God to resist us. We want God to bless us. So we can't be proud. And then if somebody were to skip down to verse 10, that's the verse we were just talking about. It's actually in the book of James. James 4, verse 10, if somebody would read that for us.
Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up.
See, if we just humble ourselves, God will lift us up, right? So, Nebuchadnezzar chose to not humble himself. He chose to live in pride, and God said, okay, the kingdom's departed from thee, and you will have your dwelling with the beasts of the field. And he says, Nebuchadnezzar, the reason I'm doing this, back in Daniel 4, he said, the reason I'm doing this in verse number 32 is until you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. This is to remind you, O Nebuchadnezzar, that I'm the one in charge, not you. God's in charge. We need to remind ourselves of that every day. God is in charge, not me.
Amen.
God is leading my life, not me. God charts my course, not me.
Amen.
God charts our course. So many times people ask me, you know, what's your long-term vision for your life? Wherever God leads me, however God leads. You know, what are your long-term plans? Whatever God shows me His plans are, I'm not going to come up with my own plans. I'm prepping myself for a great failure if I do that. God has to be the leader of our life. Let Him show you His plan. Now, I'm not saying you can never make plans. I mean, we all plan things, right? But realize God's in control. Don't try to plan your whole life out. Well, you know, and this year I'm going to do this, and then in 2 years from now I'm going to do that, and 5 years from now I want to be here, and 10 years I want to be there. Really? The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You're going to plan 5 years from now? All right, now I'm not saying again, I'm not saying you can't have a vision or a goal, but just make sure it's what God wants. Make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. Let Him show you. You know, Lord, what would You like me to do? Lord, what are Your plans for my life? Show me so I follow Your plan, not so I come up with my own plans. Let God show you. And God was reminding Nebuchadnezzar, you are not in control, Nebuchadnezzar. You are now going to live like an animal for 7 years until you know that I'm in charge. Well, verse number 33. Daniel 4, verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. That's your next blank. The same hour. Time is up. Time's up. Nebuchadnezzar had his chance to humble himself. He didn't. So God says, your time is expired. Time is a precious thing, isn't it? Time is a terrible thing to waste. Because once it's gone, it's gone. You can never get it back. You waste a day, it's gone. Some people waste weeks. Some people waste months. And some people waste years of their life. Some people have wasted years of their life and they can never get it back. It's gone. Louise?
What's the book?
The same hour. Yes, from verse 33. The same hour. So that Nebuchadnezzar, your time's up. The same hour was the thing fulfilled. And notice what it says, verse 33. And he was driven from men, just like God said. You know, when God says something's going to happen, it happens. And he was driven from men. He did eat grass as oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails became like bird claws. This is the former king of Babylon, the most powerful man in the whole world at that time. And now he's got long hairs that look like eagle feathers, and his nails are like bird claws. This man is a mess. For 7 years, that's how Nebuchadnezzar lived. Nebuchadnezzar, what happened to you? God's humbling him. We're not told what the Babylonians did during this time. We're not told. Did the royal attendants of Nebuchadnezzar hide him for those 7 years? And people, they haven't seen Nebuchadnezzar in a while. Where is he? And maybe they tried to cover it up for him. I don't know exactly what happened. I'm not sure that they... I would think that they would try to protect his image somewhat. Not let him roam around on all fours in front of the palace. Who knows what they did. But imagine how embarrassing this was just for the Babylonians. Where's your king? Well, he's a little bit out of commission right now. He'll have to get back to you. When? Well, we don't know, but don't worry, he'll get back to you at a later date. You know, maybe other nations trying to communicate with Babylon and sending letters to Nebuchadnezzar. He can't even reply. They try to go out and talk to him, and, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, somebody wants to see you. And he just growl at him, who knows? what he did? Crawling around on all fours?
In other words, he couldn't stand up.
He couldn't stand up and he couldn't communicate. He couldn't talk.
Okay.
The Bible tells us in, we read it last week, if I could find it again, where God, where the dream was, look at verse 16 of Daniel 4. This was earlier when Daniel was talking to the king about the dream, and it said, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him. He basically became like an animal. He could not talk. He couldn't walk. Imagine that, how embarrassing it was for the Babylonians, how ashamed they were. Like, you know, what's wrong with him? You know, can we snap him out of it? Can we wake him up? What are we going to do? How long do we wait? And all the things they probably worried about. I mean, you know, they dare not mess with him, because if they decided to do something to him or change something while he was acting like that and he woke up, they'd be dead. Because they knew how Nebuchadnezzar was a furious man often, and how he didn't mess around. I mean, you know, we have the fiery furnace story. We have the other stories where Nebuchadnezzar thought nothing of killing people that he disagreed with. So they were probably very afraid, very confused. But this is what God is doing to them. But now we go to verse 34. And it says, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. I lifted my eyes to heaven. He said, one day I just looked up. And that's your next blank. He says, one day I lifted my eyes to heaven. You know, Psalm 121 says, I will lift mine eyes and look to the Lord, who is my help. He lifted up his eyes. He looked up. Probably the first time he's done that. You know, remember, all up until this time, Nebuchadnezzar was looking at himself. All up until this time, it was all about him. Nebuchadnezzar worshipped himself, really. He was always looking at himself and looking at his accomplishments. This may have been the first time that Nebuchadnezzar really looked up to heaven. And he looked up, and it says, and mine understanding returned unto me, in verse 34. He says, it just came back. I looked up, and it came. I became a man again. He says, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. He says, I lifted up mine eyes, and then your next blank, mine understanding returned unto me. He learned his lesson. He learned that God is running things, as the quote here says, and that God is in control of the universe, and he accepted it as the will of God for him, and he yielded his proud mind to God's will. And he said, immediately, I blessed the Most High. That's your next and last blank. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. Only God can restore a person's understanding.
Amen.
Only God. God's in control of the mind. The mind is an amazing thing. I mean, let's face it, here we are in the year 2012, and so advanced in medicine, and so far along in that field. They still don't understand everything about the mind and how it works. They don't have a cure for Alzheimer's. They don't have a cure for people with psychiatric problems. No, they don't understand yet how the mind works and all these things. And look at how far along we are. I mean, they can do these surgeries with lasers and all these amazing things that the medical field can do, but they can't cure mental issues. They think they can. They give you some pills that's supposed to fix some things, but even that's a very touchy subject, isn't it? Even that can be very, you know, back and forth situation. Chemicals of the brain and all kinds. It's just amazing. God's in control of the mind.
Amen.
And he says, God restored my reason to me. And he says, and then I understood. And he says, I blessed the Most High. The Bible tells us, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Amen.
Right? Let's look at Psalm 34. He said, I then blessed the Lord. I blessed God. He gave me my mind back. You know, maybe before you were saved, you thought you were losing your mind. Maybe even after you're saved, you feel like you're losing your mind sometimes. And then God will give it back to you and say, oh man, I almost lost my mind. But you know, it's as we get closer to God and as we stay in His Word, He'll help our thinking, won't He? God will help your mind. If you have certain struggles in your mind, God can fix that for you. He can. So look at Psalm 34. If somebody would read for us Psalm 34 and verse number 1. I will bless the Lord at all times.
Amen.
Good times and the bad times. Nebuchadnezzar finally is realizing that. He says, I will bless the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 103. Turn ahead to Psalm 103. And if somebody would read Psalm 103, verses 1 and 2. First two verses of Psalm 103.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits.
Don't forget all the good things God has done for you. Bless the Lord. Praise Him, he says. I bless the Lord, Nebuchadnezzar said. I praised Him and honored Him that liveth forever. No more honoring myself like Nebuchadnezzar was used to doing. Nebuchadnezzar says, from this day forward, I'm going to honor God. What a blessing. No more about me. It's about God. Honor God, he says. And then one more verse, Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and verse number 1 again. 145, verse 1.
I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever.
Look at all these verses that talk about this. I will bless the Lord. We should bless the Lord.
Amen.
We should extol Him, lift Him up, honor Him. That's what God wants us to do. And Nebuchadnezzar now, back in Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is now doing that. He says, I now realize. He said, man, it was a tough lesson. God had to really put me low for me to realize that He's in control. God had to lower me so that I could bless Him. You know, that's what it is. Some people have to hit rock bottom first before they look up. Don't let that be you. Some people have to hit rock bottom before they look up. Nebuchadnezzar had to hit the bottom, literally, on all fours, living like an animal for 7 years until he finally looked up to heaven. And he did. And then his understanding returned. He says in verse 35, Daniel 4, verse 35, as we finish up here, Nebuchadnezzar is still speaking. He said, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou? Nobody can question God and say, well, why are you doing that? I mean, people try to, but nobody can stop God, he says in verse 35. No man can stay His hand. Not even me, Nebuchadnezzar, the most powerful man in all the world at the time. What was Nebuchadnezzar going to do? God, you can't do this to me. I'm the emperor. God's going to be afraid of that? Who can stop God from doing what He wants to do? Nobody. What man on earth or group of people on earth are powerful enough to tell God, you can't do that? Nobody.
Nobody.
Nebuchadnezzar says, I now realize. I've learned my lesson. I can't stop God. I'm not. See, prior to this, Nebuchadnezzar really thought in his mind that he was strong enough to do whatever he wanted, that nobody could stop him, that not even God could stop him. Remember he told Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before he threw him in the fire? He said, who's your God that's going to stop you from burning in my furnace? He thought he was strong enough to do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. He learned his lesson. He now knows that he's not more powerful. Look at verse 36. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. He became the emperor again. He was seated back on the throne. God allowed him to be the king still. And my counselors and my lord saw unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and an excellent majesty was added unto me. Imagine all the people coming to him now. What happened to you those 7 years? What was wrong with you? And he's honest now. He's going to tell him, God did that to me. God did that to me to humble me. But he says, but now, from now on, and I believe this was, most people believe, and I agree, Daniel 4 is the chapter that Nebuchadnezzar gets saved. I think Nebuchadnezzar is a saved man now. I think he's in heaven. I think we'll get to meet Nebuchadnezzar in heaven. I think he's a believer. The way he's talking here, he's truly humbled. He truly looks to God. I believe he's truly repentant. And I think he's saved. I think he's up in heaven. Nebuchadnezzar.
Yes, I believe that too.
And he's there. Verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment. And this is where our title comes from on your paper. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. God can humble anyone he wants to humble.
Amen.
And God can humble people, and God can humble countries too.
Amen.
And I think we're seeing that right now. Countries that become proud, countries that begin to think they're bigger and better than God, countries that begin to think they don't need to listen to God anymore, that they're going to do what they want to do instead and say, well, we're not going to listen to that book anymore, even though our country was founded upon that book. We're not going to listen to it anymore. We're going to do things our own way. Countries that get proud and people that get proud, God can humble them. And I think America's just beginning to experience the humbling hand of God. And it's going to continue unless we return to Him. God will humble those that walk in pride. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Help us to be humble people, giving you all the honor and all the glory for anything that we have or anything that we might be able to do, because you deserve the honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.